Hello, and welcome to your favorite astrology program, It's All in the Stars, with astrologer Hassan Jaffer. And now, here's your host for tonight, Michael Cervini.
And welcome to our astrology show, It's All in the Stars. And today our host is Shervin. And
hello.
Hi, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Nice to have you here. Nice again.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So we've been looking at quite a few different things today. And we've also had some actual movies and different movies coming at different times. And the current ones also.
The Dark Knight?
I'm sorry?
The Dark Knight. Batman.
Oh, yes. Also, did you see it yet?
I did see it a few nights ago. It was fantastic.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Very dark, but yeah, that was the
point. Oh, really? Yeah, his shirt was almost like Casanova, isn't it? Leather shirt.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, while he was going through a Mars Neptune aspect, that's when he He did have an obsession to get a Mars Neptune aspect. See, this way, see, whenever we do, in astrology, you know, when we do the chart, we look at the fact that they're born with certain obsessions, and they're going through that aspect, you know, and in his case, it's both.
Both, oh yeah.
Got the both aspects, yeah.
Pretty dangerous.
But not only was he born with the Mars Neptune theme, but by transit he was going through there as well.
Yeah. It actually affected Christian Bale, too. He was depressed for months after Ledger's death, you know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
you have a chart by any chance, sure.
Christian Bale?
Yes.
No, I just know he's an Aquarius. He's a lot of Aquarius planets. My guess is he's Scorpio rising. That's a very, I'm almost positive he's Scorpio rising, even though there's no time for him.
Oh, you mean nobody has a time for him?
Nobody has a time for him, but I'm positive he's Scorpio rising. It makes sense completely because the roles he plays, he has no Scorpio planets. And also the fact that Saturn would be at the top of his chart now with the scandals and this highest success and... You know, I'm positive he's Scorpio rising. That's my guess.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, and he does have that sort of a Sagittarius influence underneath it. You can tell that also.
Yeah, and he's got those hollow cheeks, and he really looks like a Scorpio rising. And he's an Aquarius, so, you know.
Quite an interesting person, isn't he?
Yeah, very interesting, but very intense, and something new came out today about him, and about his publicist who lived with him. Who was with him for years and stuff. And
he was in love with him.
No. He was just his assistant. Like, he was helping him out, his with promotions and things.
Oh, the man. I see. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. This guy who worked with him for quite a few years, and he knew a lot. He knows a lot about the family. And he was talking about just how intense and insecure he is, and the conflicts he's always had with his mother and his father, and, you know, just it's a very interesting life, you know, that he's had. So,
really?
But the gist of it is that he has a lot in common with the characters he plays in some ways, that he is very, you know, very dark, you know, about, you know, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I have his chart right here. I'm just going to put it up. 30th of January, apparently.
Yeah.
Let me just 74. January 1974. So it's very, very close to the age to Ledger, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he's actually a little older, but
about 2 years older, but they're both, he has Mercury, Jupiter, and I do remember seeing this chart, actually. It was an exceptionally bright fellow. He has Mercury and Aquarius trine to Uranus. Uranus rules the sign of Aquarius, as you know, it's a double grand trine in air.
Wow,
so Mercury,
very
Jupiter,
creative.
And Aquarius, both them trine to Uranus and Saturn, gives the discipline to finish what you start, and also the brilliant aspect Mercury, Uranus trine as well. And it's Venus in Capricorn, actually, which is quite good this year, of course, for the love matters, for, you know, also for the wealth, etc. But
yeah,
I felt it was a very,
Virgo,
very wrong thing, probably, on his mother and his sister's case, you know, to do this on right on the night of his premiere for this aspect. I think it was very, very wrong. I mean, you know, this is what happens when people are jealous or this aspect. I don't think... I don't think he's a violent type or anything like that at all.
No. He didn't raise a hand on them. I don't believe that at all. What happened was he just lashed out and started yelling. You know, he got very... They provoked him and he got very angry. I don't think he struck anybody.
But that's very wrong of them, you know. Like, they have absolutely no concern. The whole world, for example, what happens to them. Now here in Mars, Neptune, Astrotron, this is what I was telling you about the orbs. Remember I was saying the exact orbs? The first 2 weeks of July, Mars is touching off his Neptune.
Yeah.
It's a real nightmare theme.
Yeah.
Exactly the same thing which happened in Ledger's case. From December right till about January, February, they had a six-month theme.
Mm.
But in his case, it was only like the first week of July, basically. But by second week of July, it was supposed to finish. But I just saw it was still going on. But this is an astral scandal. I don't think there's Saturn being in the top, though, you know. You might even have Virgo rising, you never know.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't looked into this character, to tell you the truth, you know, so I haven't seen.
But how is it that he plays a lot of these darker, kind of intense characters, and I just...
Does he?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, a lot of...
Well, that Venus in Capricorn also has that aspect to some extent. No, he's got a Venus in Capricorn squared to Uranus.
Mm.
But I have to look at it a little bit more to see.
Yeah.
I mean, possible, but if he has Scorpio rising, yes, he would have Saturn right on top of his chart, certainly.
Yeah.
We'll figure out sometime. But it's a really neat chart, though, like a double grand trine in air, and, and that Mercury, Uranus, Saturn, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and then Moon and Mars in Taurus. Now, this is a side where they don't really get angry very easily, but once they do, watch out.
That's it.
Mars and Taurus theme, yeah.
Yep.
And but I think it must have been that he's an intensely private person. That's definitely Venus and Capricorn. Like, Elvis had that, and... And last four or five years...
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm looking at his chart. He does have that Scorpio look, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at his face, he does have that Scorpio Sagittarius theme.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting, yeah.
Because it wasn't just Batman. He played American Psycho and, you know, just a lot of the roles he plays, he brings a certain intensity and seriousness and, you know, this certain darkness to it that, you know, I just think that he doesn't have any Scorpio planets, not a lot of aspects to Pluto, right? So I just think maybe he's a good writer.
Yeah. So I'm really happy to say that Obama had some fantastic... like a rock status in Germany.
Oh, great. I didn't
there were more than 200,000 people who turned up.
Yeah.
Everybody was getting really upset at him, actually, you know, here. And they were saying he has no international experience. He's absolutely the best experience, actually. Like, the way he is. The main thing is how he's with people, how he inspires people. The only negative thing is, with his Moon-Pluto aspect, that is still a lot of destruction, actually, that he wants to go to Afghanistan. There's absolutely no reason for them to be in Afghanistan in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if it was, for example, let's suppose that Osama bin Laden did something, for example, and to catch, for example, they go into Pakistan also. I mean, this has become a total nightmare.
Yeah.
Don't be able to do anything with Afghanistan in the long run. So, and so many civilians dying, you know, absolutely, you know, just absolutely unconscionable.
Yeah.
But he did say that he wants to break the walls between Christians, Muslims, Jews.
That's
very interesting.
That is fantastic. I think it's high time for that, you know.
Yes. And even when his prayer was leaked, you know, they leaked the prayer, actually, you know, and in the, which they are not supposed to, actually. Some rabbis were getting very upset because he had made this wish and put it in the wall there in Jerusalem. And
what kind of prayer was this?
It was actually a prayer, you know, that, example, that, you know, when he went to Jerusalem on the Wailing Wall, he put this, you know, you make a wish and he just put it in there. It's supposed to be just but somebody, some Jewish student, he fetched it out, he took it out and gave it to the media and they leaked it in the thing. They're not supposed to actually say. But it was purely just for God to give him the strength to sleep properly and all that and not about against McCain or anything at all. So that was very positive, yeah. But hopefully, you know, like all the negative aspects will be gone and because he does have some dangerous theme in his chart.
Yeah, you were telling me that Saturn Mars thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and also Pluto touching off his Mars.
Oh.
That part is, but in his chart when you look at it, I mean, he does have some very, very positive aspects. Even August is very dynamic for him. Like Jupiter trining his Mars and all that. The difficult part that we'll have to see is the month of October, end of September, and middle of October. That's exactly the same time for Emin and Vijayad as well. Now, the dangerous theme, you know, like every time Mars sets up Uranus, for example, or Uranus sets up Mars, that part will also be there. But his major, all the negative aspects in his chart is finishing in July. And now you have the popularity aspect starting because Saturn Moon is finishing now. From last September.
Oh, right, Saturn Moon, right.
Yeah, even the difficulties he had with the women, like, for example, all these Hillary's all these feminists and all that, all these women, they didn't want to vote for him, they were saying. It was just a mean thing.
Yeah.
And,
oh, right, right. That'll all finish. That's good.
That's right, yeah. All that.
Where's his moon again? I forgot.
His moon is in Gemini.
Gemini. So if Jupiter's touching him now, isn't it? Or
Jupiter is in Capricorn right now, though. I mean, it's in Capricorn.
Oh, it's in Capricorn, right.
But end of this year, throughout next year, it is. That's a very positive aspect,
Then he'll try it,
Nice. And he does have all the planets moving up, so I'm sure it's going to be quite well. I did look at the election also, actually. And it will happen now. He does have Mars in Scorpio right on top of his chart when the election is coming up, when he's winning, or even at that time. So there is that sort of that violent after coming from, and he would have just come out of any scandals and all that. Now, Moon would be in his 12th house, first to touch off Saturn. It's really, really interesting. First of all, to touch off Saturn, so a few hours before, and there might even be some negative news or some disappointment stuff, but right off that, right the election aspect, in the evening, that's about 9:10 o'clock, the Moon touches off his Jupiter. It's a very lucky theme, of course.
But do you think by then it'll be too late? Because they do.
No. I think he will win.
No. Okay.
I think he's got a very, very positive aspect.
Excellent.
The only negative aspect is that Saturn touching off his Mars, almost exactly coming up. You know, like that part is dangerous. But that's in the 7th house. At least it's not. You know, most of the time you'll find these things in the 11th house. Like right now, he's got Jupiter in his 11th house of foreign countries and foreign lands and all the hopes and wishes for the future. And all the dignitaries in the foreign countries, they're all backing him up completely.
Right.
And it'll be in his 12th house that'll help his health a lot as well.
Great, great.
Yeah. But that Mars and Scorpio, you know, it's always, it's really interesting. Like people, you know, when they're known after they are gone, that's when they are really famous. That part is Scorpio right on top, just like Princess Diana.
When there's Scorpio on top?
Yep.
Oh, that makes sense.
Not only that, you know, Diana, when she wrote her will, Moon was in Scorpio in her 10th house. 9th, 10th house. So she was definitely being, thinking about all the life death situation. And when she passed away, when there was funeral, at the same time, exactly the same Moon in Scorpio. Right on top of the chart.
Wow.
At the time of funeral, I mean. But you know, Sheldon, what's really interesting is the Hori astrology. You know, when you ask a question and the heavens hold the answer.
Does it have to always be when Moon is in the 7th house?
No. For the Hori astrology?
Yeah.
No, you can ask a question any time, and you just take the planet position for that time.
Right.
And then you just analyze that.
Oh, so for instance, if I have a question, I just go to the computer and put the time now?
That's it, exactly. But the thing is, you know, you've got to put yourself in the frame of mind, what you feel that is the right, like you have to think of a question. And then, you know, just like your tarot is based on that, and cards are based on that. I wouldn't bet my life on that at all. Just like astrology itself, I am extremely, extremely, of course, confident about that aspect. But the Hori astrology, I'm very good at that. But I take it like a very interesting thing.
Yeah, you take
and
it with
exactly
a great
what fault. Fall for the Muslim people, you know, when they take these horses, it's fall, etc. It's exactly the same thing. Or eating.
Yeah.
Because any time you ask a question, it's based on the premise that there's an answer in the heavens for it, right at that moment.
Right.
But whatever made you ask that question at that time, within that question is the answer as well. So both the question and answer are in that chart. So let's take Princess Diana. We never discussed that degree.
No, we didn't.
All right, I mean, that's okay. So we'll put in the air so everybody can understand that. When the accident happened and in the tunnel with Princess Diana, Moon was in Leo, in the third house, in the sky.
Right.
Now, Leo is, first of all, she was a Cancer. So that's the Moon. Moon rules the sign of Cancer. In Leo, who's a royalty, the princess, and it's in the third house, she's traveling in a fancy car, in a Benz.
Yeah.
All these things are just Moon and Leo in the third house. That makes sense, right?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Venus was in Libra in her fifth house. The most beautiful romance in Paris, the Libra, actually, the fashion capital of the world.
Yeah.
Opposed by, I mean, it's not her fifth house, it's just in the sky we are looking at that. Just Hori astrology. And so an event is happening where a princess, who is a Cancer, is going in a Benz, and is having a fantastic, beautiful romance, and with that Venus in the fifth. Now, Venus was being opposed by Saturn in Aries, so being frowned upon by authority or the government. Mars was in Scorpio in a sixth house, a health house. Scorpio is like the M5 or CIA and all these things, all these intelligence agencies. Mars in Scorpio, squared to Uranus. Now, Uranus and Jupiter were right on top in the 10th house in Aquarius. So, suddenly, all these, there's intrigue going on. It's an sort of freak accident to the head and spine, Mars, Uranus. And suddenly, it becomes a news on the internet all around the world instantly. That's all the Aquarius.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe how fantastic it is? Like how clear it is, I mean.
But this was at the time that it happened. You're doing the chart at the time that it happened.
Exactly. Yeah. Like when the actual happened, what happened?
So if you want to
find, you know, when people who are destined are in the limelight a lot, like people who are really, it's not just anybody who's famous, for example, but the people who are truly, who are influencing the destiny of the masses somehow, or change their life, then when something happens to them, it shows up in the sky quite strong. For example, a famous musician, passed away, and you might find that moon was in Pisces that day.
Oh.
So it reflects that aspect very much, the whole sky.
Mm.
As if we are somehow connected with the cosmic consciousness and whatever brought these people in the limelight in the first place, because it's not easy just to come out in the limelight like that.
Yes.
Yeah. But we also have to give credit to people who brought them in that aspect. Like, people really tend to put down Prince Charles a lot. But if it wasn't for him, she'd been totally obscure in the world. She'd never been famous. Nobody would have known her at all.
That's true.
That's only because of her, that she came in the limelight in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it's quite interesting when these things come up.
Charles is what? What's his sun sign?
He's a Scorpio.
He's a Scorpio. And what was her MC?
And in his church, I believe at that time, Uranus was in his seventh house at that moment. It's like a sudden upheaval that was showing up in his case also.
Yeah.
And he had written a letter to her, and she never got it.
Yeah.
With my dear Diana, and he was really happy for her and everything. Quite interesting. And
but what is her MC, Princess Diana?
Her MC, I do have that aspect. I can just see. She is Sagittarius Capricorn in the first house.
Oh,
I do remember that aspect, yeah.
Virgo, Libra type thing.
Yeah, that's right. Virgo and Libra. I think it was Libra.
Libra probably.
Yeah, sort of a Libra. That's why, you know, if you just take a normal MC, it might be like Capricorn, but she definitely had the Sagittarius theme too. But see, she was born with a Mars-Pluto conjunction. It's sort of a violent aspect. Also, Mars-Uranus conjunction. She was born with that. Uranus and Leo, that whole age group of people who were born in the late 50s and early 60s, they were all born with that. That's one of the fame aspects. But Mars Uranus is also the aspect of freak actions, the head and spine. And I wrote about that 45 days before it happened, that she had to be careful of that, because nobody knew that it would happen, actually, but it was there.
By the way, I wanted to point out that there's an article that Tina sent to me about a former NASA astronaut, very well respected, Mitchell, I think his last name is.
Yeah.
I sent it to you, just came out and said that he saw that there was contact with aliens on several occasions, and it's being covered up.
Really?
And, yeah. I sent you the article, actually, today.
I'll have a look at it, yeah.
I see that Mitchell, his last
That's
name
very
is
very interesting. Well, you see, as I've said before, end of November of 2008, while Pluto is still in Sagittarius, we'll know all about, like, if there's anything to all the aliens and all that.
Yeah.
As you know, that it'll definitely come out.
Yeah.
And it's
amazing. Sure.
And
I mean,
it's been happening a lot.
It's been happening a lot.
Yes. I don't know if I mentioned to you, Shervin, about these T-shirts. Did I mention to you in the last? No, we didn't have the last. I was only a youngster in Toronto, and I walked in this place and just to have a look at these T-shirts and all that, and I was really surprised that so many, about 90% of them, had skeletons on them. Skeletons and skulls. And a lot of them had these crosses and savior and templar and all this aspect. And it just dawned on me that this is exactly where the whole world is going. You know what that is? That's Pluto and Sagittarius moving to Capricorn.
Capricorn
rules the skeleton. skin, teeth, and bones in your skull. That's exactly the Capricorn rule.
Yeah.
And also, and Sagittarius, of course, your religion.
Right.
So right now, all of these had very strong of that religious symbology, all these crusades type of things, all that, but at the same time, skeleton and skulls. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
And the whole fashion, apparently, is becoming a really huge thing.
Yeah.
But totally, unfortunately, it's like a totally soulless.
Mm.
And that's exactly where Pluto and Capricorn, what it represents.
Yeah.
So the whole world and all that. And that was my only concern, that on one side, when they talk about the world government, etc., I know there's going to be dismantled, that the power of the government, etc., that part is definitely what Bush is doing. That part is going away. Because Pluto
yeah.
undermines everything that all that government represents. But at
right.
the same time, when it's completely away from the family, the home, the family values that we talk about. So it's going to be questioned a lot, actually. That's what, even though we have a geological revolution, the free energy and anti-gravity and all these things being invented and
yeah.
usable, all of that. But there's
yeah.
a certain heartless element about it. I just hope that the negative part doesn't come out so much.
Right, right.
And they have taken all these skulls, all that, just the skeleton part, and decorated with all kinds of things in it, no?
Yeah,
that's
I know
thing,
what you mean.
Like, there's no soul aspect.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But I was very excited about that NASA astronaut, and, I mean, this is not a crackpot. This is definitely somebody
yes,
very...
Yes, an astronaut, that's right, yeah.
And, of course, NASA denied it and said, we disagree with Mr. Mitchell's opinion.
Really?
Whatever. Yeah. Of course, they're not going to come and admit it. You know, I don't think that, you know.
The intrigues that go on. Like the NASA chief was at Von Pier, you know, you remember from Germany, from Hitler's. It was the same person, for example, who in the Hitler's rocket thing and all that. They hired him, and he was the head of the NASA.
Oh, wow.
So all kinds of things that happen is so really interesting in this
yeah.
world, you know.
Jeez,
that's fine. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, very soon, one of the things which we are developing, Sherwin, that you'll be really pleased with that. I've got this on the left-hand side on the internet of this program, where you'll have thousands and thousands of charts. And as soon as you click the heading, the whole thing opens up, and you click on any one of them, and instantly you see the chart on the right-hand side. On the right-hand side of it, it says the synastry. Now, you can click on any other chart. As soon as you click it, you'll see a bi-wheel right away. The other
very
person's
nice.
Chart instantly. So, as you know, you and I are extremely, extremely impatient with the technology that's very weak, like very, very slow for us.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We need like zero wait state.
You should see what I did to my Bluetooth headset last week.
Oh, you.
I have to order another one. Let me put you that way. But it was high time to get another one anyway, so.
Yes.
But, I can't tolerate that. And my computer is just, you know, I need something faster now.
Well, the first 6 months of next year, when Jupiter is in Aquarius, I think we'll have some of the best technology at that time.
Oh, yes. Makes sense. Yeah. Apple's doing really well. I don't know if you know, but they've been doing really, really well.
Well, very soon, with Neptune, Aquarius, Uranus, and Pisces, all these things, you know, when you start seeing the cell phones on your, like, bangles and all, it'd be really interesting.
I'm sorry, which one?
Like, you know, when you start seeing, like, curled, like, you can wear them as jewelry, probably. Like, very soon, we'll have all the cell phones like that, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can see that, yeah. But, I mean, they're just... It's great, some of the things that are coming out now. I just think we should be able to talk to our computers, you know. Voice recognition, I think, is the most important thing, you know, and dictation, you know. I just don't, what is typing? It's horrible, you know, it's ancient. I think it's much more important to be able to just give commands to the computer and it understands everything and then just to dictate.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know?
Well, the voice technology, I think, is going to be extremely, extremely powerful very soon. The only thing which I'm afraid of is being misused by the military.
Oh, yeah.
Like, imagine, no, that, you know, that there's a knock on the door. Hi, Daddy's home, and it's not Daddy, somebody else pretending
right.
to be. Those type yeah. of things, unfortunately, I'm very, very concerned about.
Mm.
Will be amazing, some of the things. But luckily, with that Pluto moving away from that Sagittarius aspect, the religious zeal, all of that part will be finishing. So that'll help tremendously.
All the terrorism and all that, yeah?
Yes.
Good.
You know, it's really important, you know, when you look at, like, for example, when they talk about JFK and Oswald, they say there was other things. I'm sure there was also. But when you compare the two charts, you find it was very dangerous for JFK. Because Oswald's Mars touched off his Saturn, for example, or Saturn-Mars aspect, his Saturn touched off his Mars. That part becomes so, it was a very real danger.
Right.
And this is what we're doing now, the compatibility. I really want to devote a complete hour next time. Just for compatibility also. So, you know, when you compare two charts,
yeah,
what are the most important themes? For example, in a relationship, you know, myastrolove.com that we are starting, you know, when you have one person's Mercury, making aspect to another person's Mercury, that's the most important thing. First of all, is the communication. Because that lasts all our life.
When the two Mercuries have to be compatible?
Yes. Like two Mercury making, you know, positive aspect to each other, that's one of the most important ones for communication. Venus making aspect to each other also. And then, but I also want to include another criteria for, like, a potential violence. For example, one person's Saturn touches up the other person's Mars. That's a very, very frustrating aspect. Or one person's Saturn touches up the other person's Moon. It really dampens the emotions.
Yes.
If it touches up their Venus, then it also dampens their passion. Or if it touches off their sun sign, it really puts them down. As soon as they enter the room, they feel inhibited and they feel less of themselves. Or Saturn touching off somebody's Neptune makes them always have all kinds of phobias and
undermine their confidence.
These are the type of things that we are putting together.
Wow.
You have to run probably, right, Shivan?
Yeah, in about 2-3 minutes. Yeah, I do.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So the compatibility aspect, and instead of just having like a 4-5 aspects, I was thinking of in a compatibility. If you come up with ideas, and the listeners also, if they come up with ideas, they can always write to stargaze@astrotrends.net. So, but these aspects, you know, like for example, when you're comparing the intimacy, etc. But nobody has taken like the violence aspect in consideration. Or deep, or phobias, for example.
Right.
So I'm wondering, though, it should be more than just one criteria. Like, to simplify, they say, yes, you know, how communication, intimacy, romance, and friendship. But I think you should also take into consideration that there are the psychologically negative aspects as well. Because those things can really, I mean, I've seen people who have been married for 30 years, but one of them is a real doormat. So all that part, you know.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
I know. And sometimes, you know, one person might have the Venus in Virgo or something, for example, and the other person has some other, you know, really bossy type aspects, for example, and the Virgo person wants to be almost like a masochistic aspect, for example. They want the other person to be abusive so they can use that to make them feel guilty. I mean, it's such a really strange aspect.
Emotional blackmail.
Like the real victim mentality sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And they almost encourage this aspect.
Yeah.
So we are we're dealing with quite sort of complex aspects, but one of the things which I'll be doing is I'll be taking all the couples who had fantastic marriages, and then the people who have had really bad divorces and all the two, and we put this on this graph, which will be available to everybody, actually, that you'll be able to put in these date of birth, and instantly it'll show you the scoring. So I'm just putting the scoring for every planet. Like Sun making aspect to one other person's, all the planets and Mercury and Venus and everything, then which planet goes in another person's house. Like one person's Mars is another person's second house, and that person will always spend more money because of it.
Mm.
Or one person's Mars is another person's ninth house, and they'll always have legal matters because of it. Or when they're traveling together, for example, they have major accidents.
Wow.
Like, it really, really works, you know, Shivan.
Yes, it does.
And once we get this thing going now, so the whole thing is automatic, that we can keep on, it'll take me about 6 months, I would say, to make the whole process automatic, all the reports, everything. Then in about a year's time, I really want to get together with you, then we'll decode this whole astrology, how it works, how we interact with the whole, each other's charts and all. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Let's say at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you come out of the garage, for example, and if you don't look behind, and immediately you reverse, and sure enough, you'll bang another person's car. Like, it just so happens. It's so amazing. I find that, for example, there's nobody there, And suddenly, but if you don't look and you're reversing it, just that time the other car comes at the same time. Simple, yeah. Simple little things, you know?
Yeah.
Like how people's destinies are locked. So these are all the questions we'll be tackling in the future shows also. So there's a plane crash, for example, all these people's destiny would have been locked together. So I want to have this thing like you have a card or something where people, you know, as you put in your license and all that, for example, it has your date of birth. Just by the date of birth, by itself, it keeps on checking this aspect, and suddenly it rejects one person or two people because that have had the the whole destiny of the passengers that have been in danger because that one chart, because that person's chart shows a real freak accident that day.
I have a question because you mentioned this before. Did you actually say this will come to pass, that they'll have such a system someday, or you said you hope that they would?
Which one? The for example, I'm actually reject, for example, a certain passengers because of their date of birth and all that. What's happening that day? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yes. No. 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 I'm developing that.
But do you think that someday it will be like that, where you know, you just go?
If there is validity to it, definitely. Like people themselves, it'll be. But it's not like a real magic aspect for them, for example, that this is a time that you have to be very, very careful. So people themselves would love to, for example, if you're booking the thing on the internet at home, and as you're booking it, it automatically keeps on checking other people. You don't even have to see that person's date of birth. It automatically checks in. Let's say it suddenly starts flashing. There'll be danger if you actually, book on a flight with your chart. Because all the people, they have a harmonious aspect, but suddenly this one person can really throw off everything.
That's a brilliant idea. I hope that, you know, for this to happen, astrology will have to be more accepted, right? It has to be more...
Well, tell me something. The genetic astrology that we are, the program that we are developing right now, actually, and it's about 20% or 25% done right now. Here we are. I'm developing a software right now where you put in 100 parents' date of birth and one child, and in less than 30 seconds, my software tells you that which parent belongs to that child. Not only that, but what traits has that child inherited from which parent? There's absolutely nothing in science or medicine which can do that. Now, this is an extremely easy thing for us.
Right.
Because it only requires, for example, if you have Mercury-Neptune conjunction and the child has Mercury in Pisces. So all the rulerships have become very important with that. Or if you have Mercury in Sagittarius, the child has a Mercury-Jupiter aspect, for example.
Yes.
So it will see if both parents have it or not. So it'll be able to eliminate easily all the positive and negative traits. And what'll be really nice if this lady, for example, she keeps on blaming her husband. Well, he's just gone on you. Suddenly the genetic astrologer says, no, actually it is because of her that he makes up stories. That'd be really interesting.
So it would be a step further than he's got your nose and his mother's ears.
Oh my God! It'd be so much more. That's exactly the same science. All they use all the terms to try to make it very authentic, all more visual. But as you know, as compared to astrology, even neurology, I mean, or the psychoanalysis, etc., is totally, totally primitive. There's absolutely no comparison. Even medicine. Okay. I mean, we can actually predict when a person will be anemic for 2 hours, for example. When the number of erythrocytes is retarded, for example, and just for those 2-3 hours, when there's a Moon-Saturn conjunction, for example, everybody will go through a bit of depression or they feel extremely tired, suddenly they want to sleep. If people are born with it, then they are anemic. But everybody goes through that 4 times a month. But how will you actually check it in medicine? There's nothing to even check in medicine. Every 5 minutes, you'll have to keep on taking the blood sample to check that aspect. And the unique aspect, even the fact that, for example, when a person wants to have a surgery, it's really interesting. Some of my clients who have these facial surgeries and all that, and now they really start believing in me because they really botched up one surprise when they didn't take the advice. It became a real nightmare. There's a Mars Neptune thing, and I told them.
Yeah.
It's just a simple thing, and they were surprised that it didn't heal properly at all. So next time they're really smarten up.
But
if you have a Mars Jupiter aspect, for example, something which is helping you to recuperate faster.
Yes.
And a whole immune system, the unique aspect of each individual, that's not taken into consideration at all in medicine.
No, it's not.
We got to use to me, for example, when people get cancer and all that, to me, that's not disease. It's a whole attitude which leads to it. And what people do inherit is a psychological state of mind,
yes,
which creates a certain pessimistic attitude. or when they are not optimistic, when they don't have any hope. Because when you don't have hope, you're denying the miracles of God.
Right.
You know, there are two things which I really, really like in Islam, the true aspect of it. You know, people don't realize this aspect. I think Prophet Muhammad was probably the first feminist, if you really look at his life, probably what he did, how much he did for women, actually.
Yeah.
But when you take the intent of an action, that's the entire basis of Islam. As
right.
You know, what they call niyat. And unless you have that aspect, when they pray, if they forget to have the intent, then that is not like you have to actually physically say that. You have to have the intent of doing that.
Right.
It's just like, for example, a boy pushes a woman in front of a car, and we call that aggression. But supposing he was a Boy Scout trying to help this blind woman cross the road, suddenly he slipped a banana peel, dragged her with him, and she got hit. We don't call that aggression.
Right.
It's purely in the matter of intent. And
yeah.
That's exactly what the lawyers try to screw up.
Yeah.
And that's why people get so upset, because the lawyers take some aspect, the intent was this, or intent was that, for example, and a real case of a person is a real crook, but they let them get away because of this intent thing. So everything is based on the intent, and that part, the intent, or your thinking of something rather than just the action.
Yes.
And that's why, to me, you see, a person, this society encourages criminal behavior in almost 99% of the people. When they do some injustice, you may not do something just because you'll get in jail or something, for example, but the fact that you thought that you'd like to do this to the government or this person or that official, for example, that itself is like an intent. So
yes.
They should not provoke. In a society, they should have fair things where people do not get so angry that they're at least thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like they had the power they would do. So that part, that intent part, is extremely important. And the other point, Sam, that I was saying, that's one I forgot. But, one last thing. In astrology, as you know the dream interpretation. Have you tried to use that at all? You remember the moon's transits that I have in my moon magic?
Yes.
They are also dream interpretation.
Oh.
Like, as the moon goes in your chart, let's say the moon is in your ninth house.
Yeah.
You may not travel, but you may have a traveling dream.
Yeah.
That you're suddenly flying all over the city and all the country.
Yeah.
Or if it's in the 12th house and you end up in a jail in your dream.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic because it offsets all the negative themes.
Interesting.
And
do
so
you
actually
believe
being
that
in a jail, you actually end up just dreaming about it.
Do you believe, in the dream state, if your spirit actually leaves the body? Do you believe that?
The spirit leaves the body?
Yeah.
I don't believe that, no. Well, who says that?
They're saying that you actually travel, your spirit does travel. And
it's not travel. You see, I feel that the whole world, there's a connection with our brain, it's almost like this cosmic consciousness.
Yes.
Whether it's
the third eye
about something within us, there's a direct connection. That when you stimulate that part of the brain, then you have all kinds of experiences with that. And that is part of the psychic ability. And that's why certain people who have this sudden flashes of brilliance, for example, that's the Uranus part. It has to do with the parasympathetic nervous system. And some prophets, when they used to have revelations, apparently they used to go and have this seizure or something. That's all that parasympathetic nervous system, that's Uranus theme.
Hmm.
And just that time, they are connecting with this cosmic consciousness. But it's such a fantastic aspect,
Yeah.
So we'll be, I'm making this the program where people will be able to go on the website and see on a daily basis exactly what kind of experiences offset different themes. So my ultimate aspect idea would be when you are, for example, there's a Moon-Saturn aspect, and suddenly, depending on what religion you are, your own prayer, your favorite prayer suddenly pops up.
Oh.
And if there's any negative theme, and it offsets the negative theme, I mean.
Very nice.
Because the prayers are exactly meant to put you in a state of mind where you offset the theme in a positive way. That's exactly what all the prayers are designed for.
Oh.
Even the whole concept, when you give charity, it was supposed to be that nothing belongs to us in the first place, that one day everything will be taken away. But now we give for tax deduction. So
now, by the prayer, can it be in our own words too, or does it have to be a certain...
How do you mean?
Can the prayer be in our own words, or does it have to be according to a certain...
No, absolutely, in your own words can be. It's just when whatever you've learned, for example, that's the beauty. You see, in English, it's not really a philosophical language. But when you have the in you know, it's in Persian or original Arabic or Hebrew, for example, when they had these things, there was a, you know, they were very much in both in Judaism and Islam. They were very much into the phonemes, the phonetics aspect of it.
Oh yeah.
So when you say these words and how they go together, there was such a, it created a certain you know, the that connection with that cosmic consciousness, or you're stimulating certain parts of the brain.
Oh.
So it's a really, really interesting aspect, you know.
Fantastic.
But it could be in your brain. Like, for example, you know, if there were 10 different answers to a question, you could actually take all those answers and put them in a piece of paper and mix them all together, have think of the question, and pick out an answer that's the same Hori astrology that we're talking about. It says, you know, based on that, whatever made you pick up that answer, that's what the answer is. But there's a certain symbology when you use these. Of course, you see, the reason I personally don't subscribe to all these runes and all these type of things, because it has a destined aspect. That's what goes totally against, if any religion has really talked about it, it's actually in Islam. And in Hazrat Ali, who was the first apostle of Islam, when he said, you can never underestimate the power of prayers.
Yes.
And that you think that you can direct people at such opportune moments where they'll only gain and never lose. In other words, losing is part of nature's plan for us, also from time to time.
Yeah.
But the prayers affect the thinking, and it's only thinking which creates these lines on the hands. So yeah, the prayers directly influence the lines of the hands.
Fantastic.
It's absolutely amazing. You know, there was this priest here, this Maulvi, this Maulana, and he had, his son was about, I think, about 8 or 9 years old, and he had leukemia. The doctors had given up. Every day, all the followers were used to go there, they used to pray, and all these nurses, they become really friendly with them. And after a few months, now that boy has completely recovered. He's about 11 or 12 years old. It's so amazing, you know, how... So you can never really underestimate the power of prayers.
That's true.
And you know, that deep realization of truth. Now, whenever you are doing astrology like you and I, it gives us a certain frame of mind. It's almost a holy frame of mind when you're doing astrology.
Yeah.
At least I know you're definitely like that. Not many, like, you know, when you look at people like Sylvia Brown and all that, unfortunately, you know, it's exactly opposite. And when they, see, all the channeling to me is very blasphemous.
Yeah.
The only channelers were the prophets.
Right.
And, you know, some of these people have such demonic charts, unfortunately, pure business aspect. You know, $50,000 for a lecture, and that's all they are into, unfortunately. No basis, nothing. They start doing the guesswork, for example, they put them through the high horse. Pure. But there is,
there's a great responsibility, you know.
Yes.
That comes with,
absolutely.
Some people don't realize.
Unfortunately, people like, for example, both Edwards and Sylvia Brown, they were born on the 19th of October.
Oh.
And the number 19 is a very special one. And actually, it's the only one that's mentioned in the Quran. Do you know that?
No.
Number one is the smallest number. Zero doesn't exist in nature. Everything is like protons, neutrons, everything. So the smallest number is one. The highest is nine.
From
the microcosm to the macrocosm. And together, the number is indivisible, the identity of God. So people are born with number 19. They do have a certain power over others. And but in the West, they tend to misuse it. Because the West is so much more, I find, into man-made laws as opposed to the East, which is much more into divine laws.
Hassan?
Yes.
Sorry, I was just getting some interference. Sorry. Please repeat. I didn't catch the last thing you were saying.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying that the West, I find, is much more into the man-made laws, whereas the West, whereas the East is much more into the divine laws.
Right.
I find this aspect. So the Messiah complex is much more common in the West than in the East. You hardly ever hear, in Judaism, in Islam, you'll never find about this Messiah complex. Somebody, you know, because we cannot even create a dust particle. You left in the Sahara Desert for 2 days to find out how much part of God we are. But certain religions, encourage that aspect, and some don't.
But with 19, what is the deal with 19 then?
Well, the 19, because, in the Quran it says, for example, that because every letter in the Quran they found was an exact multiple of 19. 114 chapters.
Interesting.
And it has certain places where it purposely misspells certain thing, and we are supposed to leave it like that. You're supposed to be like that, and even the beginning, it just says like ABC, and nobody knew what the value was of this. If you take that out, it doesn't fit. So as if it says, for those who disbelieve that this word of God, to make them believe, and for the ones who do believe, to strengthen their faith, over them will be the number 19.
Right.
So now they find out, but why 19? Because that's the identity of God. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, from the smallest particle to the highest. We cannot see neutrons, and we cannot see all these galaxies. That both are beyond us completely, and together the number is indivisible. So if God had to show himself in a number, numeric form, it would be number 19. But we find that people are born on the 19th, people do listen to them. And they become like preachers, for example. However,
my dad was February 19th.
Really?
Yeah.
Your dad was born, yeah. Well, he should have been involved with the aspect, because he's got a very, very deep philosophical, spiritual values.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. He sends all these quotes on the spiritual aspect already.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could really, really use that quote. But people with the 19 aspect is a big responsibility. In the West, unfortunately, they use it as a business. They can become very successful, but they tend to quite often misuse many of these values, unfortunately. I mean, she has hurt a lot of people, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But in astrology, you see, because it's a philosophy of life, and every time you discover any rule of astrology, it brings us closer to that creator who made it. We may be fantastic in the interpretation, but it's not our plan. But also gives us ability to understand how we can offset a negative theme. Somebody may have a need to cry, like somebody has Venus in Virgo, but whether they cry for themselves for self-pity or for compassion for others is their free choice.
Right.
And that's exactly what, and you are getting really, really good in that offsetting theme, I remember. It's surprising how fast you were actually really good in this.
Yeah.
It's like the Mercury-Neptune aspect that you're using in a very constructive way.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
So that's exactly my point. See how you use it. Like Obama has a Mercury-Neptune square. So you tend to justify uncreditable acts as well, and start believing it. So you have to be very careful of who he chooses as his people around him. That's the most the difficult aspect, because he will trust everybody with that aspect. But the or they can be very skeptical and turn on. They can absolutely stupid mistake because it's just wrong person. But the most difficult aspect of that now, on the positive side, it helps him become a politician. Because you can turn things around, for example, whether a person does know that, whether they're slapping them or praising them. So in getting out of difficult circumstances, it's good. But, so it's a good thing, actually, that you did have some Muslim upbringing, actually.
Yeah.
Because I think it has a very deep respect for Islam also. I mean, when you really study Islam or the original aspects in Judaism and all that, they are beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
And you'll find that all the common aspects with all the religions, they are fantastic. Because when people take it to a fanatic degree, for example, and try to use it, that one, unfortunately, we lose a lot of that.
Let's hope that finishes by the end of this year.
But see, as soon as somebody says that this will happen, if I said to somebody, for example, that your little finger will get hurt after 1 week, to me that's blasphemous.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and nobody can say that. Only God can say that.
Yes.
That's why just the theme is predictable.
Yes.
The experience of something, when it happened, and how long will it last. Just that's it. That's why hopefully we'll start our negative theme offset therapy very soon.
Like you see,
somebody's getting a Mars-Neptune aspect, and they'll go and they go near the ocean, for example, and say, wow, what a beautiful ocean, for example. Let's see, we should really do some swimming. And they've never even taken any swimming lessons. And they just take the absolutely stupid mistakes like that.
Yeah.
I remember this boy, and he was, my son Reza, we were doing skating to his class below, so he put in these aspects, and he just went on the ice, and he had never, ever taken apparently, and I didn't know that at all. So suddenly, he just goes in it as if it's just like walking, and suddenly he skated all the way one to the other. Later on, I looked at the chart, sure enough, it's the Mars-Neptune aspect.
Yeah.
He'd never even been, that's the first time he was going. I mean, nobody knew this aspect at all. And he is where these aspects just got these things, and as if he could just escape right away. That Mars Neptune thing.
Yeah, fascinating how it works.
Thank you very much for all the help.
Thank you, Hassan. It was a pleasure again.
I know you've got to run.
I actually bought myself a Mac. I bought myself some extra time, but I do have to go now.
I understand. Next time we'll also discuss all the different movies that are happening and what the basis of them, etc.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Sherman.
Okay, thanks for that. We'll talk soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Well, it says Sherman's a very, very good friend of mine, actually, and I love his mind because he's got Mercury in the ninth house of philosophy, the highest aspect of truth and philosophy. So it's really how you, and also, I was really happy to hear that his dad was born on the 19th, actually it was March 19th, so he's an extremely, extremely sensitive person, and his place is like Hollywood's set, actually, because mom has such fantastic graphic ability and all that, also interior decoration, all. But the father has, so he has that 19. 19 is such a special number. So any one of you who's born in the 19th, it's like you have a certain aspect of responsibility over you and in helping the masses, etc. If you like, go to my website. It's astrotrends.net. And it's astrotrends.net. And maybe in our next lecture, we'll take more calls. I will take calls. I didn't even give the number at you this time. But you can note it down for next time or anytime you want to call us for the BBS radio. And that is, in the U.S., it's 1-877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if you do like to call Astrograph, get in touch with myself, Hassan Jaffer, you can call 416-497-9000. My email is stargaze, STARGAZE, at astrotrends.net. And our website is, of course, www.astrotrends.net. And any suggestions, any questions you'd like to ask, and what you'd like to see, we are developing several websites, and within about 3 to 6 months, you'll see all kinds of massive databases that we've done to be able to help you. You can also go to my website, by the way, astrotrends.net, and towards the bottom it says horoscope interpretation. You can just put in your date of birth and click on interpret, and instantly it'll give you, 5, 6 planets and interpretation for you right away. And till next time, this is your astrologer, Hassan Jaffer, wishing you all the best and good luck.